Last couple of weeks, we were talking about waiting between meat and dairy. If I eat meat, how much time I have to wait to eat dairy. So there are a couple other dairy meat related issues that we are going to talk about. Number one, eating meat after dairy. We'll talk about that issue of cheese and hard cheese. And then we'll talk about creating the proper separation at the table, in containers, in the fridge, tablecloths, etc. So that's going to be what we're focusing on tonight and probably a little bit next week. We're on page 69 in the Sefer Mirabanan source books for those who have them. So the Mishnah tells us explicitly, Amar Rav Chisda achal basar asur lechol gvina. If one ate meat, so one cannot eat cheese immediately afterwards. Gvina, if one ate cheese, mutar lechol basar. So then, in that case, one's allowed to eat meat without waiting. So that's the baseline halacha that we have in the Mishnah in Chulin. Masechet Chulin the things related to dairy meat that come up in Gemara come up in Masechet Chulin, because Chulin deals, even though it's in Seder Kachin, which generally relates to sacrifices, Chulin is the Masechet that deals with regular meat that's not for sacrifices. So this is also the Masechet where a lot of things related to kashrus, including Basar and Basar Bechol, come up. The Mishnah tells us that if I eat cheese, I'm allowed to eat meat. So the Gemara goes on to tell us, "Tana Agra, Chamud de Rabbi Abba, Agra, the father-in-law of Rabbi Abba, taught Ofu Gvina Nechalin Bapikorin." So the meat of birds, such as chicken and cheese, can be eaten freely. There's no separation, no chumra required. And remember, we said that on a deraisa level, I'm allowed to have chicken and meat together. Chicken and dairy, chicken and cheese together. Right? So the Gemara here says that they can be eaten freely without any restrictions. So who tani live who amrala below kinua kapet. It's not necessarily saying that you can eat them together, but you don't need the separation. You don't need to wait in between. You don't even need to wash your hands or rinse your mouth or wipe out your mouth in between. Okay? So the Gemara then goes on to say that Rav Yitzchak, son of Rav Misharshia, came to the house of Rav Ashi, bring this in English, and they brought him cheese and he ate it. And then they brought meat and he ate it without washing his hands. So the Gemara says, well, what about the statement of Agra? So he said, you're allowed to have chicken and cheese without restrictions. So it seems like that's only talking about chicken and cheese. But meat and cheese, there should be some sort of separation. So he responds, so the requirement to what to wipe, so there does seem to be a requirement to wipe one's hands and to wash one's hands and to wipe one's mouth in between meat, in between cheese and meat. But that seems to apply specifically to meat and specifically at night. So, because at night, just keep in mind that they didn't necessarily have light. So, if you were eating and it was dark, so if you have cheese and then you have meat, so you might not necessarily see if there's cheese on your hands. So that's why we require you to wipe your hands. But if you're eating during the day and you see that that there's no cheese on your hands, there's no cheese on your face, and then there's no problem to have meat right away. That's not a problem. So with chicken and cheese, there seems to be no concern with whatsoever with washing one's hands and wiping his mouth. And when it comes to meat, so during the day, it's also not a problem as long as you look at yourself and you look at your hands and make sure there's nothing there. But at night, so maybe it'd be a little stricter that you have to wash your hands just in case. But then the Gemara goes on to tell us, Beis Shammai Omrim Mekaneach, Behu Adin Madiach, a person should wipe one's mouth and should wash your hands. So Beis Hillel Omrim Medea Fuhuadim Lakanaya. So Beis Hillel says that one has to rinse their mouth and wipe their hands. So they're basically saying the same thing. Mar Machada. They're both saying the same thing, and they're not disagreeing. So the Hilkasa Bechol Mile Havi Kinuach Levar Mikim Kla Tamrevi Viraka. So they're both saying that that one should wipe their mouth and wash their hands, rinse their mouth. They should do all that in between dairy and meat. And you're allowed to, let's say, wipe your mouth with anything except for flour, dates, and vegetables. In other words, I could use water to rinse my mouth. I could use juice to rinse my mouth. I could use bread to rinse my mouth. All of that is considered proper except for flour, dates, and vegetables.
What does that mean?
Meaning, the idea is that once you, let's say you have a piece of bread. So once you have that piece of bread, so we assume that the cheese is disappearing because you ate something in between.
It's about
wiping your mouth out to make sure that there's no dairy residue. So you can do that with water. You can do that with food, with the exception of the food mentioned here.
It's not about taking a napkin and wiping your mouth.
Well, that's also good. But here, when it talks about being mekaneach, it seems to be. Here's what it says here. It seems that the conclusion from these passages is that one must wash one's hands when eating meat from an animal at night and rinse and wipe one's mouth anytime. Okay, so, and then you have to wash your hands at any time. You should rinse and wipe the mouth. So the definition of that rinsing would seem to be with the liquid. Sounds like wiping is with food. We're talking about the inside of the mouth. We're not talking about like wiping one's face.
So I can qualify for this by eating a donut.
Yeah, a part of donut. Sure. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, this is source 3. Achol gvina mutar lechol achar basar. One eats cheese, then one can eat meat right afterwards. You have to examine your hands and make sure there's nothing that's no dairy, there's no cheese attached to them. So at night you would have to wash your hands. Right now we're talking about one after another. Right? We're not talking about doesn't matter how long the wait is. It seems to be, again, it says, Shulchan Aruch says immediately. I eat cheese, I can immediately eat meat as long as I make sure there's nothing on my hands. And if it's night, then I have to wash my hands no matter what. Okay? So then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, you have to also wipe the mouth and rinse it. The kinuach, you should chew bread, and you're using that to wipe out the mouth. So the only distinction is you can't use flour and dates and vegetables to do that. Why? So those things are going to stick to your mouth. So it's not going to really help you actually, get anything out. You need to eat something, chew something that you need to eat or chew something that will actually get everything out. And then you have to rinse your mouth with water or with wine.
This is all with the dairy solids you're talking about.
Dairy solids. Okay, so we're going to talk about if there's a distinction between, let's say, milk and cheese.
Or even pudding, chocolate pudding or something like that.
Okay, right. So right now we're talking specifically about cheese.
Just cheese. Okay, and not the hard cheese then, I guess.
So hard cheese we'll get to in a second, but regular cheese. So again, if I want to eat meat right afterwards, eat a piece of bread or something that will kind of get everything, that'll wipe everything away, and then have a little bit of water or wine to rinse it off. So b'medrei merim when to supply the basar behim v'chaya, that applies to actual meat. About imbala chol basar o achar grino inotzerich lo kinu cholonikila. But if I'm going to have chicken after having cheese, then I don't have to do anything. So if I'm going to have beef then I have to do the whole wiping and rinsing process if I want to eat dairy right afterwards. If I'm gonna have meat right afterwards, but if it's chicken, I don't have to worry about it at all. The Sefer Kashrus of Rabbi Fuchs, so he says that he quotes a Dark Etshuva saying in source 4, "Ein tzorach lo hamachal shemekanchim." So if you're using bread to do what we call wiping, you don't actually have to swallow the food, but you just need to chew it. It's v'chamuvan shechitzuach shinaim bisodiot kamo kishtifa b'kinua. So brushing one's teeth is sufficient for these purposes. So yeah, once upon a time you didn't get Oral-B toothpaste or the like, but if you brush your teeth and use mouthwash and the whole thing, so that's certainly going to be sufficient for the purpose of kinua. So best practical recommendation: one's having cheese, one to have meat right away. The best thing probably, if you can do that, is to brush your teeth and rinse out with water, mouthwash, something like that. So with that said,
excuse me, you have that issue on Shavuos where people eat dairy and then they have
right. So that's a whole right. So that's a whole thing that comes up. In fact, a Mishnah Berurah that we'll see quoted comes from Orach Chaim in the section of Shavuos. So it's one of the reasons given for eating dairy on Shavuos is so that we'll have dairy and eat meat right afterwards to demonstrate our being careful with Hilchos Kashrus. So that's one reason that's given. So this is where this often comes up, but it could come up if one goes from Kiddush, you know, if you have a cheese Kiddush and then you go home and you have and then you go home and have a meat lunch, so that can come up there also. So the Beis Yosef quotes the.
Excuse me. That's what my question was. How much of a break are we talking? If I go home and have kiddush, is that a long enough time between eating the dairy and the meat to not have? I mean, if it's 4 hours later, obviously I don't have to do this. So where's the break?
That's a fair question. So I think the Beis Yosef will address this right now. Right, but saying if you don't want to have to do the, if you want to avoid the rinsing, the washing, so obviously there's a point where if it's been 24 hours, so obviously you don't have to do any of that. Well, hopefully you brush your teeth between anyway. Let's see the Beis Yosef and they should address it. So he says that there's some who are machmir on themselves. Source 5 on page 71. Hilchos basar achar gvina besuda achas. To not eat meat after cheese within one meal, because of a Zohar. So the Zohar says, we find that anyone who eats meat after dairy together or within 1 hour or within one meal, so an image of a roasted kid is seen in the shell of the person for 40 days, and a group of impure angels will approach him and will cause judgment to be aroused in the world, judgment that is not holy. So there's something here about being an hour between cheese and meat. That's what the Zohar seems to say. So then he goes on to quote the Mordechai, quotes the Maharam of Rodenburg, that the Maharam of Rodenburg would eat meat right after eating cheese. So he would not eat meat after eating cheese. He found a cheese in between his teeth. So he became machmir himself not to eat cheese after meat.
But the
Zohar
isn't authoritative on halacha, is it?
So it's a good question. The Zohar authoritative on halacha. So the answer is, if you're a Rav Yosef Karo, yes, it is. There's actually a lot of this deserves a whole study of its own. But the Zohar actually does influence halacha a lot. For example, washing our hands in the morning. Yeah. Some of that is due to Kabbalistic reasons. Mm-hmm. So if you're Hasidish, then there's definitely a lot of influence, from Kabbalah to Halacha. But even for Rav Yosef Karo, he was actually he was a Mekubal, and the Zohar was relevant.
We use cheese in a general statement that cheese, cream cheese, cottage cheese, all these cheeses, cream cheese especially, could stick. I mean, there's
right. Well, so that was the Maharam's concern, was that it can stick. So he would not do so immediately. And then the Beis Yosef goes on to conclude that this should apply even to poultry. So even though technically speaking from the, although this you know, in some ways contradicts a little bit what we saw earlier in the Shulchan Aruch, that technically speaking that one does not need to do this with poultry, but the Beis Yosef seems to say that, that it's good to be strict with poultry also, not to eat it right after cheese.
Okay, the Beis Yosef said what you just said, but underneath it says, the Shulchan Aruch is not called the Zohar or practice, etc. Rabbi Avadia ruled that Tzvardim did not need to wait at all.
Okay, right. So, good. So that's what I was just saying before, that before we said that Shulchan Aruch says that when it comes to, let's say, poultry, he says you're allowed to eat meat right after, dairy if you do the proper wiping and rinsing. And when it comes to chicken, you're not restricted at all. Okay. So
it's a matter of the wiping and rinsing. That's when you need the hour.
Well, no. So the point is that the Shulchan Aruch is based off the Beis Yosef. The Shulchan Aruch does not quote this. Zohar does not quote this. Does not seem to quote himself in the Beis Yosef. When he applies halacha on the Shulchan Aruch, he does not use what's in the Beis Yosef. So that raises this question. With this note on the bottom here is raising. what this note is raising is that the Shulchan Aruch does not in fact quote it. So if we look at Rav Avadia Yosef on page 72, that's verse 6, and Yobi Omer, Rav Avadia Yosef says, the maskana, the dina, ikar din motar lechol basar achagridi. You're allowed to eat meat after cheese, not like what the Beis Yosef said. Lechar shekaneach pi bepas lechayotze bo. After you wipe your mouth with bread, the adiach pi bemashkim, and you rinse your mouth with liquid, you told your dove, you wash your hands. Just clean them carefully, right? So hand sanitizer would probably work for that. Okay, so he brings the idea that maybe one would be stringent not to eat meat after dairy for an hour, but that is considered to be a stringency. That's a pious act. So if somebody wants to or needs to change their practice, if they have a tzorech levatam yingo, that's a hatar. So you have to do hatar sedarim for that. If you didn't take on this practice while saying blina there, and then you can eat meat right after cheese in the manner prescribed. If a person thought that I'm not allowed to eat dairy after meat, not meat after dairy, and I thought that was halakhically required, and they want to take a more lenient standard, so they don't have to do hataras nedarim. So it seems like what we're getting at so far is that I think the answer to Tony's question, it seemed like an hour would be the standard. Right? Once an hour has passed, it would seem like you don't really have any reason to be concerned at all. Though wouldn't necessarily hurt if you remember to rinse your mouth. But it sounds like once an hour has passed, you don't have really have a concern. And what we're talking about, and that makes sense, because remember we said that between meat and dairy, right, according to the Ramah, you only have to wait an hour also, right? The 6 hours is a big stringency. Right, but we said a couple weeks ago that between meat and dairy you only need an hour. So it seems like an hour should be sufficient. But if you want to eat, let's say, within 20 minutes, so then that's when you have to do the stricter protocol of rinsing.
This discussion that we're talking about now, is that equating meat and poultry or not equating?
What Rav Avadia Yosef is saying?
Yeah, the whole issue about you wait an hour, you're free to go, and it's,
right. Well, that should certainly apply to poultry. It probably applies to meat as well. And again, the Shulchan Aruch really says that with meat, with chicken, you don't have to wait. Beis Yosef says that. Correct. Shulchan, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Fine. So the Ramah goes on to say that there's some people who don't eat meat after cheese. They know again, Shakol Shadvina Kasha. If it's hard cheese, so after hard cheese, you shouldn't eat enough chicken. Just like when it comes to having cheese after meat, and some are lenient. And those who are lenient shouldn't protest, but they should still wipe and rinse their mouth and wash their hands. But me, top laughing. It's good to be careful. So then we're going to go on. It's a note here says, although the Ramah only mentions waiting after hard cheese, some have the custom to wait either an hour or half an hour after eating any type of dairy based on the Zohar quoted above, regardless.
Excuse me, Rabbi. Can we clarify? I know people aren't from, some people might not think American cheese is hard cheese. The hard cheese is really the.
We're going to define hard cheese. We're going to define all of that.
Okay.
More on that is coming. But again, there are some people who, based on this Ramah, even with not hard cheese, try to wait a little bit. But the Mishnah Berurah says, "Ein tzarich lahafsik bevirkas hamazon imeino ochel gvina kasha elikaneach piv yafa v'yadia." So if you're not having hard cheese, you don't even need to bench, but you do need to wipe your mouth or rinse. When it comes to regular cheese, it seems like you should be able to eat chicken right away. Maybe it's good to be a little bit machmir to rinse. But certainly with meat, you're going to eat within the hour. You have to rinse. You have to wipe your hands. And beyond an hour, I think everybody would agree should not be a problem. Yeah. Well, so we said we brought that up when it came to between meat and dairy. That we brought up the idea that benchings would serve as a separation. Right. Of course, that's assuming that according to Tosos, you weren't necessarily waiting 6 hours. You might just be waiting, you might just be benching and moving on. But dairy and meat. So you're saying you specifically actually don't need to bench. Then you don't need to bench.
What does that mean?
Is it a minority there or is other people?
Mishnah Berurah is a reliable authority, so
I don't understand. You're in a meal with bread and you're eating dairy and then you're eating meat and then you're benching. We don't eat dairy and meat in the same meal because you're going to take a piece of bread from the and has meat on it and eat it. I thought that was the reason.
So it seems like you really don't need to, you would need to clear the table. We'll talk about having dairy meat on the same table. Well, but let's say Shavuos, right? You have a load of dairy, then you clear the table and you have meat. So Bishop Burr said you don't need to bench it.
As long as you bring a new
bread. And this is where he brings this up. He brings this up related to Shavuos. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what about hard cheese? How do we define hard cheese? And what's the reason for hard cheese for waiting after hard cheese? And what's relevant halacha? So when it came to waiting between meat and dairy, so we would say that, so there were two reasons given for why you have to wait between meat and dairy. According to the Rambam, the concern was that the meat would still be in your teeth. So that stops being concerned after 6 hours. Or according to Rashi, the concern was that the taste or the aftertaste of the meat lingers for a period of time. So that's important to note. So the Taz on page 73, source 9. So the Taz says that that when it comes to the reason that the stuff might still be in your teeth. When it comes to cheese, there's no prohibition to eat meat afterwards. The gamba basar shabain hashinaim lo have a karinan be basar. So, you love the galilan kra habasar den ben shinehem. So when it comes to meat, so the only reason why we're strict that we still can, when the meat's stuck in between the teeth, so is that still really edible? That's still really food. So, We have a pasuk that tells us that the meat was still in between their teeth after they were eating all this meat after they complained and God gave them all this meat. So the pasuk tells us that the meat was still in between their teeth. So meat in between the teeth is considered meat. But when it comes to dairy, b'gvina shebein hashinayim lo have gvina chal. But when it comes to cheese, that might be stuck between the teeth. So we don't consider that to be of any significance. Right? That's no longer considered, it's not food, that's not edible, So that's not considered cheese. So so we don't have a concern. We don't have a concern that the cheese being stuck is affecting it. According to Rashi, that we're concerned about the fat in the aftertaste. But for the aftertaste that lingers in the mouth for a while, so maybe one should be stricter. So he gives the example of Swiss cheese with holes in it, Swiss cheese. So there, that's considered to be a hard cheese. So there, the concern is that the taste will linger for a long time, and therefore one would have to be strict and wait longer. So, and that only raises the question, how long do you have to wait? So the Taz goes on to say in source 10, Lahamtin Sheish Sha'os, you have to wait 6 hours between hard cheese and meat. And the definition of hard cheese is cheese that aged longer than 6 months or has many holes. Okay, that's what we have in the Taz. The Taz says that because the taste of hard cheese lingers for a while, there's a taste that remains for a while, so you have to wait 6 hours before having meat. And we're defining this kind of cheese as cheese that's aged for 6 months or has many holes in it. The Shach, however, says that the Acharchilas Baser Nogin Lamtin Shachas. The Rama had said, really, halachically speaking, you really don't have to wait an hour between meat and dairy. So certainly, we would acknowledge that when it comes to cheese to meat, you really only have to wait an hour. So the Shach says that you really only have to wait an hour between hard cheese and meat. The Sefer Kashrus, very modern Sefer, says that ha'ochel gvina kasha ritzono lechol b'sari, somebody who eats hard cheese and wants to have meat, minhag b'nei Ashkenaz, a custom for Ashkenazim, l'hamtin she'shaos, ha'fil b'nei basar ov, even before chicken. 6 hours between hard cheese and minhag b'nei svar l'hamtin she'achas b'vav. For Sfarim, you can wait 1 hour. Yeshamikel l'ham b'loham tanakval. Some are lenient for not waiting at all. There's some notes here. The Banishkai says that if it was aged for 6 months or more, so one should wait 6 hours, that's even for Spartan. Hard cheese that was aged for less, one could wait less time. Ravadia Yosef says that one doesn't need to wait at all for any hard cheese. Then the Shulchan Aruch does not mention this stringency. That's what we saw above. That apparently applies to hard cheese as well. The Shevet Halevi, Rav Vosner, just passed away a little less than 10 years ago. So he was asked about hard cheese that was not aged for 6 months. So he says, "Mikomakom." This is the second paragraph in source 13. "Mikomakom gama nokri darki lahachri bazeh." I am stringent. V'tami de hayom hakol nimkar b'chanos v'yesh lo kol minek binos eilu shehim pachos b'shisha chodashim. You have cheese that's aged less than 6 months. V'eilu shehim yoser b'shish chodashim. You have some that are less than 6 months, some that are more 6 months. V'yatzarich lo z'aluach z'mani masai nasu. So you have to have some sort of calendar to determine when each one was made, and that's not so practical. So therefore, any hard cheese, no matter how long it's aged for, one should have to wait. Because remember, we said the definition of hard cheese is something that's aged for 6 months. But something that might be considered a hard cheese, let's say Swiss cheese, so even if it was, even if it was aged less than six months, or cheese that was set with rennet, that was aged less than 6 months. So Rav Vosner would say that you have to be a machmir, anything that has a definition of hard cheese. With that said, Rav Zev Weitman, who's the Rav Olam Shvut, and is a Rav, is posted for one of the cheese companies in Israel, Tnuva. So he says that when it comes to regular yellow cheeses, which are 80% of yellow cheese falls into this category. So they are not, he says they're not considered to be hard cheese. So, and he says that even though there's some that, the shelf life might be longer than 6 months, and you might find yourself eating it after 6 months. So that's not hard cheese. Hard cheese is cheese where the manufacturer is aging it for 6 months before it's ready to be sold. But the fact that it's sitting on a shelf for 6 months, sitting in the fridge for 6 months, so that's not considered 6 months as far as hard cheese goes. So he says on page 76, in any case, there are some cheeses about which all agree that they're considered hard cheese. These special cheeses are still found in Tuvan. This includes Parmesan, which contains a high percentage of dry matter. The aging time can take more than a year. If you need to take it stronger, the more it ages. So there are some things that are by definition hard cheeses, and those you definitely have to wait for. But the fact that, again, that something sits on the shelf for 6 months does not make it by definition hard cheese. It has to be intentionally aged by the manufacturers in that manner. There's a story brought in source 15, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch al Basar b'Chalav, that's quoted in the name of Aaron Cutler, that there was a young man who was invited to eat with Rav Cutler, and they served him meat. And he said, well, I had yellow cheese a little bit earlier, so I can't have meat. So Rav Cutler said that regular yellow cheese is not considered to be hard cheese. So one does not need to wait for that. So the OU's policy, as quoted in source 16, it says the Shach explains that hard cheese, as referenced by the Rama, means cheese which has aged 6 months. Poskim note that after eating pungent, strong tasting cheeses, one should similarly wait before eating meat, regardless of the cheese's age. But which is what we cited from the Taz. But he says it's the position of OU's poskim that one need only wait between eating aged cheese and meat if the cheese is a variety that is intentionally aged in production, such as Parmesan and Mento. One need not wait after consuming non-aged cheese, as incidentally aged on refrigerator shelves and exhibits the same texture and taste as it should exhibit in its non-aged state. Okay, so we've said so far about cheese that if you're eating regular cheese, so if you're going to eat meat right afterwards, you have to wipe and rinse your mouth with food and drink. Once an hour has passed, you shouldn't have a problem. And when it comes to hard cheese, and we're talking about intentionally aged cheese, or cheese that has a really strong taste that might last a while, so then one has to wait 6 hours for Ashkenazim. But again, that's only if it's intentionally aged. Question, we'll end with this. Question comes up. So does this apply to specifically cheese, or does it apply to milk as well? The Rishash and the commentators of the Gemara says Dafka Kvina Maskin and Sham Dubai Kinuach Adacha Mishim Shehu Mudbak Bechanichim Kvina Shinayim. So cheese is more likely to stick, within one's mouth on the teeth. And rinsing is not enough, so that's why you need the chewing, the rinsing. But for milk, the rinsing alone is sufficient. So you should rinse. You're going to have milk and then you're going to have meat, so it's good to rinse your mouth, but wiping and the whole nine yards only applies to having meat after cheese. In the body of Shulchan of Revival Cohen of Lakewood, he says with regard to washing hands, so he says that some people say you don't have to wash your hands after having milk, because unlike cheese, which maybe like sticks to your hands, so when you drink milk, you're not eating it with your hands, you're just drinking it from a glass. But he says there's a possibility that it can spill out if it's on a cup, you touch the cup. So he says that one should wash your hands after having milk before having meat. But that is that's a chumra of the Bade HaShulchan.
That could apply to ice cream. Ice cream is like milk, but it.
I would say ice cream is probably like milk. So you rinse your mouth. If you eat ice cream, then 2 seconds later you're going to put chicken in. So there's definitely. There's definitely ice cream that's kind of like still there. So you rinse, and that's good enough. Wash your hands, make sure that there's no, but beyond that, you don't have to do the kinuach of having bread or something to separate. So ice cream would seem to be in that same category.
Does this discussion include food that has dairy products or something?
So chocolate, right? Should chocolate apply to that? So again, I would think that maybe one should. So I want to look into that a little bit more carefully, but I would think the chocolate could rinse.
You look at the paper contents. It says, "Oh, milk solid, whatever."
Right. Yeah. If it's like something that may contain milk, then you definitely don't have to do anything. But it's something that, you know, but something that actually has like real dairy in it. Okay. So that would be the origin.
Is the issue with the Parmesan more that it is pungent than that it's going to get stuck in your teeth?
I would think so. Eric, because that was a concern I think that the Taz brought was just that the taste, right? The Taz said explicitly actually that in theory, you know, the idea of it being stuck in your teeth is really a meat issue, not a cheese issue, because the Torah doesn't say something about cheese being stuck in the teeth. It only said that about meat. Uh-huh. But the issue is the pungent taste. Yeah. Okay, to be continued next week. So after next week, so then we'll talk about things related to different things in the kitchen about separating utensils and issues that come up in keeping the kosher kitchen itself. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.